Public News Service Daily Newscast for July the 28th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Protesters who say they were tear gassed, shot at, pepper sprayed, and assaulted outside a federal courthouse while peacefully demonstrating and rendering aid to others sued the Trump administration Monday over its use of force during nightly demonstrations in downtown Portland. That report comes from the Washington Post. According to the Post, a group of five women and two organizations, including longtime Black Lives Matter protesters and the yellow-clad Wall of Moms group that assembles nightly to stand between protesters and federal law enforcement, filed a lawsuit alleging that several agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Federal Protective Service, have violated their constitutional rights of free speech, assembly, as well as due process against unreasonable seizures. Leaders in many states will soon announce their strategies for schools this fall, with the pandemic still a public health crisis. Expected scenarios include in-person classes, a return to distance learning, or a hybrid. Our Mike Mullen reports for some parents, all of the options pose a challenge.
When Minnesota schools switched to distance learning in the spring, Tyree Bronson-Pruitt of Minneapolis and her wife had to quickly adapt to providing instruction while staying on top of their full-time jobs. Both parents worked remotely, but with one of their four kids having special needs and two older siblings needing help with daily assignments, it was difficult.
It was just kind of day-to-day, kind of making it work. What assignments do we have to do? What do the kids need? How do we do that? How do we rearrange our work schedules?
At the same time, Bronson-Pruitt says health risks for in-person learning are a big concern. Her wife's immune system has been compromised after overcoming cancer. And with her family being African-American, there's added worries with the coronavirus known to affect Black people disproportionately.
Education Minnesota, the state's largest teachers union, says a survey of its members found that nearly half prefer to continue distance learning. Others, including state Republican leaders, have pushed harder for schools to reopen their doors. Even before the pandemic, Americans wasted about 40% of the food we produce, $218 billion worth each year.
Now, a report from the nonprofit ReFed says that the pandemic has worsened the problem of food waste, but may also lead to a smarter, more nimble food supply. The COVID-19 U.S. Food System Review found that farms were devastated when demand from restaurants, cruise ships, and airlines evaporated overnight. Jackie Suggett from ReFed says thousands of tons of excess food had to be destroyed.
The inconsistencies in that supply and demand drive a lot of uncertainty in decision-making, and uncertainty almost always leads to waste.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is PNS. And as Virginia enters the third phase of its COVID-19 recovery this week, some nursing homes finally are lifting restrictions for visitors. AARP Virginia wants visitors eager to see loved ones for the first time in months to take needed precautions.
Jim Dow with the organization says folks need to prepare themselves to make sure their visits are safe. He says the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid has provided facilities with recommendations about resuming in-person visits, and people should ask nursing homes questions about this guidance.
These include, has it been at least 28 days without a new COVID-19 case in the facility? Are there declining cases in the surrounding community? And of course, are there regular testing opportunities for residents?
He adds that one of the most critical issues to ask about is whether the facility has adequate supplies of personal protective equipment for staff and visitors. Folks also should inquire about required health checks. I'm Diane Bernard.
As of July the 15th, 1,180 COVID-19 deaths occurred at long-term care facilities in Virginia, according to state data. That's almost 60% of the total COVID deaths reported in the Commonwealth. Wildlife managers in Wyoming moving forward to combat chronic wasting disease in deer, elk, and moose herds after the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission approved a new statewide management plan.
State Game and Fish Department Director Brian Nesvik says managers can pick and choose from new tools in their toolkits because herds in different areas face unique challenges. Some areas might see expanded hunting harvests, for example, to cull infected animals.
Really, this plan was intended to provide a list of different options that wildlife managers out on the ground could use to apply to management to meet objectives in those herds scattered all around the state.
In other areas, controversial winter feedlots viewed as hotspots for the infectious disease could be limited. I'm Eric Galatis.
Finally, as you may know, many folks depend on libraries for everything from paying bills to telehealth and completing coursework. Earlier this month, lawmakers introduced legislation that will provide $2 billion in emergency relief, funding libraries across the nation, including at least $10 million for Tennessee. Chattanooga Public Library Executive Director Corrine Hill says building maintenance, PPE purchases, and other costly pandemic-related items have stretched her budget thin.
The longer this goes on, the more strain we're going to feel on our budget. The assistance that will come from the Library Stabilization Fund Act, we really have to have it if we're going to meet the increasing community needs and be able to reopen safely.
Time is fast running out for Congress to pass the Library Stabilization Act before the August recess. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.